Hello and welcome again as we continue our study through the book of 1 John. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash located in Church Hill on Highway 11W in Tennessee. We're in the Powell Shopping Center, and we invite you to come down to the Wash and Word. Let us wash your car, and this is how you can support the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of this ministry. We also want to remind you that if you're anywhere in the parking lot area of the Wash and Word, tune to 107.1 FM. That's our Wash and Word radio station. We play verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We want this parking lot to be known as a place that you can come to hear the Word of God any time of the day. Because let's face it, friends, we need to hear from God sometimes, don't we? And we're not always going to find a church that's holding service. And we're not always going to find someone that could teach us the elementary teachings of God's Word. So the Wash and Word has developed this radio system so that you can come hear a message from God any day, any time that you need to hear a word. And that's what we do. So if you have any questions, come to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there on our website, you can find out all you need to know about the business and about the ministry. You can also download and listen to all of our archive messages there for free. So, being verse by verse, we'll pick up where we left off. We covered verse 19 in our last teaching, so we'll obviously pick it up here in verse 20. And by way of quick recap, verse 18, John begins to introduce the spirit of the Antichrist and those who have gone out from him. In verse 19, he's saying that there were many who come in and started to adhere to the way and to the truth, but they have left us. They have gone and started their own false religions, or they have gone and become enemies of Christianity. And he says that they were never really a part of us. They were just playing the part. And of course, this easily flows into today's society and how we see many false teachers and false religions and those who claim to be preaching the gospel or preaching the scriptures, yet all they do is just pick and choose small parts of the Bible. This is all warning signs that were given to us early on in the first century by these gospel and epistle writers. And so verse 20, picking up where we left off, says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." I'll stop there. Now, this is on the heels of verse 19, where he was saying that many have gone out from us who are no longer with us, who claim to have been with us but are no longer a part of us. They, by them leaving or by them going off, it shows that they were never a part of us. But then he says, "But you," now this is the true recipients of the letter, "you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." So now John's getting down to, all right, now I'm dealing with you guys, okay? I'm dealing with you who are true to your faith, you who are true to the Bible, you who are preaching the whole Bible, you who are listening to the whole Bible, those of you who are genuine, Christian, faithful believers. And he uses that word anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. That's what the NIV translates that word. But in the King James Version, it's translated as an unction. And that's just another word for something you feel with inside of you. You can't explain it, but you cannot but do it because it's something in you that's just welling you up. And that's the Holy Spirit. It gives you an unction to do something. And when it is the Spirit of God unctioning you, there's not much choice in the matter, is there? When you get that unctioning in your spirit, it doesn't go away. And this is why the disciples, when they were beaten and imprisoned and they were told not to preach about Jesus upon their release, they said, "Well, that's not going to happen." And they said, "We cannot but speak about him." It's one of those cannot but situations. But that word anointing or unction, the definition comes from the word chrisma, where we get the word charisma or charismatic, and it means to smear on, as in an ointment. So it is a smearing. So what he's talking about here is this anointing or this smearing that you have is from, or more succinctly, is the Holy Spirit. And we know this because oil throughout Scripture symbolizes the Holy Spirit of God. First, even back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 16:13 says, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And so we know that this, the oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit, and this smearing on is anointing. So here's the question. How many of you out there have been anointed or baptized by the Holy Spirit? And now your mental hands may be going up. And the secondary question to that is, are you sure? And many of you will say, well, of course I'm sure. And you can be sure. That's the beauty of it. Now, most people say, well, you can be sure you've been anointed or baptized or whatever word you want to use by the Holy Spirit because you now speak in tongues. Now, I'm not going to go off on a tangent here. There is a extensive teaching on the book of, or on the gift of tongues that I taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe. And so if you go to, again, go to washandword.com and you can click on the media tab. You can click on 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and you can hear teachings on the tongues. But what I'm getting to is that we've been anointed by the Holy Spirit at the moment of our salvation. The Spirit comes to live within us. Thus we are anointed. Now there are refreshings of that Spirit. There are baptisms of that Spirit. There are times where we are welled up and we do something that is above and beyond a normal everyday Christian walk. And the power of the Spirit wells up and rises up and gives us the ability to do a certain thing. This is a common occurrence throughout the history of Christianity. And we are aware of that. That's why John says, and all of you know the truth. Now, the word know is the word eido, E-I-D-O, and the definition is to see or to know. And more succinctly, it's to know by seeing. So knowledge and sight are very much connected here in a sense. So I may say I know Pastor Joel over at Abundant Life Fellowship. But when I see him ministering to others, I know by seeing what he's doing that he has a heart for the people. So to know and to see are very much connected. And so to know is to have the evidence of a particular thing based on the behavior or characteristics of that person. In other words, your fruit will determine or identify your relationship with Jesus. That's what Jesus said. You will know, or they will know, you are my disciple by the fruit that you bear. You know a tree by its fruit. Jesus says, if you love one another, then they will know that you are my disciples. Again, there's a knowledge of knowing who we are in Christ, knowing that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. As John put it in verse 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know this truth. And to know it is to see it, to visualize it. And so he goes on, he says, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. So, having already discussed false teachers and those who have gone out from them, antichrists and the spirit thereof, he is now dealing with strictly those who he knows are his, who he knows are adhering to the truth. True Christians. Because there comes a point in God's word where we have to just eventually hone it down to those of us who are firm and strong in our faith, who understand and know that we know that we know, there comes a time when God's word has to be honed in to where, okay, now we need to take God's word and really apply it to our lives. Now we need to see what God's word has for me. Now I need to use God's word to straighten me out, to edify me, to encourage me, to admonish me. But surrounding all of those vital scriptures for the true saint are all these other scriptures of warning about those coming against us. It's almost like a bubble around a bubble. And when we get through that first bubble and we can penetrate our way through all the falseness and the warnings and the hypocrisy and the pharisaical religious workings and all this nonsense, we can get down to the parts of the scripture where we can finally start to grow because of them. And again, he's not trying to straighten them out because they are ignorant of the truth. He's now trying to correct these true Christians, the readers of this letter. He's trying to correct the notion that these anointed truth knowers were accepted, were accepting some of the teaching that was being spread, namely Gnosticism. And so he's trying to warn them, he's trying to tell them that, look, this agnostic teaching from these who have gone out from us is creeping into the church. And this is where you've got to get your ears on. You've got to know that you know the truth, and then you've got to use your eyes to know. Wait, you handsome radio preacher, didn't you mean to say you need to use your eyes to see? No. Yes, of course your eyes see, but what John is referring to here, when you take the root words of everything he's been talking about, it's eyes to know. And what he wants us to know and see and weed out are the slick cult leaders, the world religions, the humanistic mentality, the Gnosticism, and the self-proclaiming evolution of human God that we will become. And all this stuff has crept into the church. And I know this, and I can prove it, because I can't even tell you how many Christians I've spoke to that believe in things like reincarnation or karma or superstition, or transcendental meditation, and meditating in a yoga practice, and all of these sorts of practices that many Christians deem okay. And this leaves out the whole class of preachers who sit there and water down or leave out or misrepresent Jesus and the Word of God. I've had people leave my church because I am against prosperity, name it and claim it preachers, who have left because I've called them out, because I have named preachers like Smile and Joel Osteen who are leading people astray by giving false and incomplete truths. Those who hold up their Bibles in the beginning of their sermon but rarely open them after that. People have left because of those who I preach against, who tolerate tolerance and coexistence, and have colluded and compromised with the world today. And I don't care that those people would leave. I don't care that if you turn off my teachings after what I just said, and of those who I've just called out, that's fine. Because it's time we start weeding out who never really belonged. Listen, I'm going to end with this because I'm almost out of time. It is not okay to have an incorrect idea about Jesus. It is not okay to have an incorrect idea about Jesus, because an incorrect idea leads to all sorts of misrepresentation and ultimately to sin and ultimately to death. Well, that is it for my teachings today. I pray that you join me again tomorrow on this radio station. Don't forget, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, come by the Washing Word. Tune to 107.1 FM, and you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching. If you'd like to join me for my live preaching, I teach on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. That's Sunday at 6 p.m. Hope to see you over there at the Wash and Word. And again, if you have any questions, go to washandword.com. Have a blessed day.